Discipline is the secret to success.
Self-discipline is everything.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
The only way to do great work is to love what you do.
What are you going to do?
Welcome everyone to another episode of the TrainAid Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sullivan, and this is the podcast where we speak with high performers to find out what they do every day to be the best at what they do. Today, our guest is Kai Kara-France. Kai is a professional mixed martial artist from Auckland, New Zealand, training out of world-famous City Kickboxing. Kai is currently the number 7 ranked flyweight in the world and is fresh off a first round TKO victory at UFC 259 in Las Vegas. In this episode, we talk about Kai's newest adventure in life, fatherhood, how he balanced his previous camp with his partner being pregnant, the training schedule at City Kickboxing, the infamous spider workout, how he handles adversity, and what lessons his career has taught him about resilience. This is a great episode with so many cool learning points, so let's get to it. All right, we are recording here for another episode of the TrainAid Performance Podcast. Keeping this MMA train going. We've got another Kiwi UFC star. We've got Kai. Don't blink Kara-France on the show today.
What's up, brother? How's it all going, mate?
Mate, it is going.
What number day is it for you?
I think we're number 10, I think. Yeah, the nurse called. You lose track of days in quarantine, eh? It's a real weird experience, bro. If people haven't gone through it, it's like weird. You just like, all the walls kind of melt together and all the days just melt in. How did you go in your one? You just got out like, what, a week ago or so? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks I've been out now. I wasn't at the point of doing handstands naked, but I got through it okay. But it was rough though. Like any time where you're just, you know, killing time in a room, it's always going to be tough, especially for newborn and like, physically not being there to help back home and stuff. But no, we got through it all good, and it was cool that our bubble, there were six of us that could all, like, the rules in New Zealand are a bit more relaxed down in Christchurch, so we could go in each other's rooms and stuff in our bubble.
Yeah, that's good, eh? Because it's almost like that you miss that social aspect. Like, there's a nurse that calls us every day, and I think they're like getting sick of calling me because I just like try to have a conversation with them and keep talking to them. They're like, go away. Let me hang up the phone. I got to call 2,000 other people. Just go away.
Making the most day. But that's like Carlos, when he was in the fitness area, he had like a boot camp going. So like anyone that was doing quarantine could jump in. Like, it was pretty cool because a lot of people were there by themselves. So that would be the highlight of their day, like getting to work out of Carlos. And they're in like their own little space, but it was pretty cool to see them like get fully involved and sweat it out, and, well, not sweat it out, but move around and stuff. So that was kind of cool to see.
Man, imagine that. Imagine if there was like young females or something, and then Carlos rocks up in your quarantine doing that.
Yeah, no. There was mostly girls joining in, but yeah, there were a few guys.
I was gonna say the demographics on that would have been so skewed. 18 to 28 year old ladies just coming in. Anyone doesn't know who we're talking about, it's Carlos Ulberg. Give him a Google if you want to get your ego to take a bit of a shot. Then Google Carlos Ulberg and read his profile. But anyway, Kai, anyone who's watching the YouTube video of this will see a new addition to the Kara-France family there. We've got little baby Kobe there. How's that all going?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Today he is 2 months old, so 8 weeks. It's flying by. Like, it's crazy how big he's gotten since I left. I left him when I was 2 weeks old to go fight. And to come back to him in the size he is now, it's just incredible. Like, what breast milk does to a baby, like how fast they grow, how fast they develop. And it's cool seeing him learn new things every day. Like, see, there's always something that he's doing for the first time or seeing for the first time. So just being at like physically here and witnessing those things, like, yeah, it just so blessed, man. But yeah, things kind of change. Well, for me, not being, you know, not having time to myself anymore, you know, you really have to be selfless. And like, even going to the toilet or like doing like normal day stuff, going to make food, you got to like tag my partner in charge, and we just take turns like that. So it's full on, but no, it's amazing. And it's awesome that this is the only place where I need to be right now, just being at home and spending time with my family and my son. So when it all works out, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So we're definitely in a good place, and yeah, just soaking it all in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you said that you left when Kobe was 2 weeks old. So that means you were going through fight camp when Shard is at the back end of her pregnancy. What was that like?
Yeah, it was mid camp, and when he came out, and yeah, it was pretty full on. Like, I was just adjusting, making adjustments to make sure that I'm training and I'm putting everything into that, but also being supportive back home. And you know, my partner Shards is so she's awesome. She knows exactly what I need to do, and for her to take care of him for a month while I wasn't here. My mum did come up for 2 weeks and help out and stuff, and we have a good, you know, family support system that we can lean on. But you know, it is tough, and being here now, I can really see how tough it is. But yeah, in my camp, you know, he was born, but I made the adjustments. I was sleeping on the couch downstairs, and just making sure I'm sleeping to make sure I'm not getting run down, and still eating and losing weight. You know how it all is, being my nutritionist, and how stress plays a big part into losing weight and all that. So for me, it was just about making sure that I'm doing everything I can to make sure that I'm going into this fight, you know, 100% ready. But then, yeah, when he came, and it was a real fast process. Like, he was Shards went into labor like early hours in the morning, like three or four in the morning. We ended up going to the hospital about 6 a.m. and he was out by 7:30, which is like unheard of. Everyone was telling me, like,
stress pass.
Get ready for the longest. Yeah, get ready for the longest day of your life. Like, it's gonna be a long day. Like, make sure you just get some sleep or take naps. But he was out in an hour and a half. He came out water birth, real smooth, and he came out real healthy. He was right on time as well. So his birthday is February 14, Valentine's Day, and that's his due date. So I think like only 6% of babies are born on their due date. So pretty special to for that to happen. And then obviously we're on a clock, so I only had 2 weeks left before I had to fight. So luckily he did come when he did, so I could maximize the most amount of time while I still was in New Zealand. So yeah, it was awesome. The day after he was born, New Zealand went into lockdown, so we had to, in Auckland, we went into lockdown. So for 3 days we were at level 3, and Eugene made the call, said don't worry about moving into the gym, to stay home, do what you can. So I got a little setup in my gym, so we could still train, but that was kind of like the best case scenario. I could train in the morning and then just hang out with my newborn son and my partner in the day. So it's awesome how it all worked out, and yeah, we're more than ready come fight week.
That was one of my concerns, but one of the thoughts that came to my mind immediately, because like you said, when you're in camp for you guys was full on, like your training schedule is full on. On top of that, you've got to make sure you're getting your sleep. You've got to make sure you're getting your recovery. You've got to make sure that you're eating right. You're losing the weight. You're doing everything else. For the guys listening, you kind of paint a picture of how crazy it is that you were looking after juggling a newborn during getting ready for fight camp. Can you tell us like what a week looks like training-wise for you guys?
Yeah, so for training, you know, usually about 10 to 8 weeks long. For me, half of that, or majority of that, is big weight cut, but we're doing it, you know, over a long period of time, so we're playing it smart. But you know, I'm still losing. I walk around about 71-72, you know, but that's me being at my heaviest, cutting down to 57 over the 10 to 8 weeks. So yeah, it's important that I'm making sure that I'm not overtraining and not getting sick and run down, because I'm not going to be able to lose weight. I'm going to be, you know, doing the opposite. So for my camps, you know, it's a fine line between pushing as hard as you can and pulling back as well. So for Monday, you know, we start the week strong, where we do, 10 o'clock morning. Our morning sessions are mostly skill-based and on a Monday. And then followed up by pads with our coach, Eugene. So that schedules Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So that same routine in the morning, and then in the afternoon, usually just physio or some recovery based some stuff, and then it's Monday night sparring, so pretty full on. You know, we're not holding back and sparring. It's more, well, ramp it up close to the fight, getting in about 10 5-minute rounds. So pretty heavy on the body. Tuesday morning, we're back to either like sprints or shuttles, some high intensity work, followed by 10 a.m. plus, and then 1 o'clock I'll do my strength with Suns, my strength and conditioning coach, and then at 6:30 I would be doing after Suns I'd be doing my breathing coach with David Wood that same day, so that wouldn't be too hard on my body. That's more just kind of developing the tools to manage high pressure situations, and you know, we've been using that a lot in our trainings, breath work and recovery, breathing to get us back into that relaxed state. And then Tuesday night we do wrestling with Andre about 6:30. So Tuesday's pretty full on day for me, so I got to make sure after that, you know, I'm eating the right foods, drinking the right things, you know, train aid, getting that back into you, as well as sleeping as well. So when you've done all those hard sessions, it's kind of hard to get back into that relaxed state. So you're quite wired, so you need to make sure that what we do is we have this breathing protocol that we follow to make sure that we're getting enough sleep. So Wednesday morning, you know, back into that school-based training in the morning, and then we got pads with Eugene after that, just working on game plans and stuff, that new things that we're working on and for this fight or for my last fight. And then Wednesday afternoon, more just recovery stuff, physio, chiropractor, see Gabe, our physio, Brad, our chiropractor. And then Wednesday night is one of our harder sessions. It's that VO2 wrestling, which is pretty much a disgusting workout where you're on the bike and then you're wrestling. So it's pretty much an hour and a half of work where you're burning roughly about 1,000 to 1,500 calories, which is crazy in that amount of time. So you want to make sure you're recovering after that. Thursday morning, we're back into it's more like lactic capacity, which is like a bag workout. It's a bag and bike. So that turnaround from Wednesday night to Thursday morning is pretty rough on the body because you haven't really recovered from the Wednesday night. So just to get through that, you're doing good. And then Thursday afternoon, I've got my strength again, my other session with Suns. Thursday night is one of my nights off. So that night, just chill, relax, just try to, you know, let the body heal, and maybe I'll do a spa for just to kind of kickstart that recovery. Friday morning, back to that school base, pads with Eugene, and then Friday afternoon, I'll do a breathing, like a pool session or something with Dave Wood. So, you know, it's not too hard on the body, but we're pushing the lungs and we're trying to get, you know, our CO2 tolerance as high as we can. Friday night I have off because Saturday morning is we spar at CKB, so that's a hard session, that one. You know, that's, we get a lot of rounds in on a Saturday, and then Saturday night we have off, and then Sunday about same time as we're fighting. So in Vegas we fight about 5 o'clock in the evening, so in the time difference in New Zealand we'll train about 12 o'clock. So that's when we do our spider. So that's like replicating the fight. So 3 5-minute rounds. If you're doing 5 fives, then that's how long your spider will be. And that's just a little gut check to see where you are. And you know, when the fight comes, you've done a spider. So you've already fought, you know, every Sunday, emulating the fight. So by the time fight night comes, you've already done the fight, you know, 10 times in your head. So You've had to take down, you know, 10 new person every minute, or defender take down every minute. And if 10 guys can't do that, what's one guy going to do? So it really builds up your confidence and gets you to, I guess, place you need to be to be able to push through those boundaries and see kind of what you're made of. So I highly recommend anyone that wants to get into combat sports, put themselves through a CKB spider, because that'll see if you really want to do it or not. But yeah, that's our schedule. It's pretty heavy, but you know, it's an 8 to 10 week, you know, training resume. But, you know, after the fights, that's why you can have a bit of time off just to let your body, you know, you don't want to be burning the wick at both ends. You want to be making sure that you're just peaking at the right time. And if you're doing that all year round, you won't be able to maximize your performance. So that's why when you have off time, you just want to be chilling and just doing skill-based stuff rather than, you know, pushing your body.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I remember the first time I came over to see you guys, I was we were doing that charity boxing match with that Rod was running. And I remember I was like my second or third session there, and he's like, "Oh, you ever done a spider?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? What's that?" Oh man, he put me through, and I was like, man, "These guys are crazy." Let's talk about that for a second, without divulging all the inside tips and all the inside secrets about it. Can you explain kind of the outline of what a spider is? And it, for people listening, it's only, you know, 15 or 25 minutes, but man, it's the craziest 15 or 25 minutes you'll ever go through in your life. Can you talk us through it?
Yeah. So the name spider is actually, it's in a person's name. So that's where that comes from. I thought it was, you know, something to do with the workout. Maybe there's like eight different workouts, but it's not, it's a guy's name. He used to be, or he was a SAS trainer. So, you know, this is what he does to break people. So Eugene has known him for years, and he asked him to come up for a workout that could get guys ready for fights. So this is the workout that he's come up with, and, you know, it's a big part of our system. And it gets you into that state where you have to push through, where, you know, there's going to be your teammates cheering you on and all this chaos around you, but you just have to focus on what you have to do right in front of you. And that's what it's kind of made for. And so it's 3 5-minute rounds, either, you know, taking people down or defending takedowns, mixed in with, you know, body weighted workouts and workouts to make your arms and your legs fatigue. And then the last round is more just pushing through boundaries. So you're getting smashed, people with big 16-ounce gloves, and they're trying to take your head off, and you're just trying to stay relaxed, and you're trying to get up, or you're trying to, you know, sweep, submit, or stand up. So the last 30 seconds is where you can really let the hands go, and everyone's cheering you on, and you can really feel like it's fight night. You're just trying to rain bombs on someone and pay back for the punches that they've just landed on you. And yeah, it's when you make it out of that 15 minutes of hell, or 25 minutes, however long you're doing it for, you know you're getting stronger mentally, physically, emotionally. So you build on that every week. You kind of set little goals. You're like, okay, next week I want to push as much as I can, and not like sit down after, or I'm not gonna, you know, rest at any point, because if you're not doing 100%, it's kind of worthless. You want to be putting all in. Because that's how you push past those barriers, and that's why you see us on fight night. You know, we come in, we're always coming in shape at CKB, especially the top level guys, where they know where they need, their body needs to be. There's no like stone left unturned. So when we make that walk out to the octagon, that's where the confidence comes on from, that spider workout, because you know you've done it for 10 weeks. They haven't broken you. You know, when all these new guys coming through, what's this one guy gonna do? So yeah, it's a massive part to our gym.
And let's talk about that, because it's a huge thing, right? And lots of gyms do bad positions, and they do, you know, fight simulation to put you guys in like the worst position possible. Spider kind of takes that to the nth degree and does it in almost like a sadistic way. If anyone hasn't seen it, like, I'm sure there's videos and stuff about it, but have a watch. But your last fight, that would have come into handy. Yeah, that would have come in handy big time. Not only just Spider, but the work that you're doing with Woody, with the breathing and, you know, putting your body through physiological stress. How much did that pay off? How much did the combination of Spider and doing that work with Woody pay off in your last fight, those first 3 minutes?
Yeah, that was a massive help. You know, when I was caught in those bad positions, kind of uncomfortable when you don't know how far you can push it. But then, you know, with Dave and helping me control my breathing and getting into that relaxed, as relaxed as I can be, and then that kind of peaceful, finding peace in the chaos, I lasted like a minute for the first time. The second time I did it after he told me, kind of, do this. You can come up whenever you want. There's nothing holding you back. Just get, when you get down there, just stay present, stay in the moment, and just tell yourself, you know, it's all good. You're going to get through this. Everything's going to be fine. I lasted like 2.5 minutes just from what he was saying. So your body is an amazing thing that you can alter your state and make sure that, give yourself confidence. And when I was stuck in those bad positions, when I was getting choked and I could feel it getting tighter, but you know, I could always breathe. So that's always enough. You know, if you're still in it, you know, you're still in the fight. So I always kind of give myself that positive affirmation. Just keep fighting the hands. I'll find it. I'll get out eventually. And then at one point I was like, what am I doing? Just get up. I don't need to, you know, keep doing this. I just need to get to my feet. And I guess that's what I did. And I could hear him getting tired. You know, he's right next to my ear, breathing real heavy. So when I got to my feet, I knew he was going to be tired and fatigued. Different muscle groups when you're grappling and then you're striking. So I kind of had the urgency to put the heat on him and push the pace. And then I could hear the Andre or Eugene saying 30 seconds stay on him. So then I found my range and then hit him with a right hand, right uppercut, and another right hand, and that was kind of all I needed. So I should have followed up, you know, thinking back on it now, just because of the way he's reacted, saying Herb Dean. I should thank Herb Dean for winning me that fight, but have you not watched a fight back? Like, my opponent is a bit delusional if he thinks, you know, I was lucky to get that win. But when you face plant like that, it's a wrap. So I did the Mark Hunt walk away, did a lap, and then Eugene's like, run back over. It's not finished, because Herb Dean never officially like a wave like that to signal the fight was off. So when I went back over, he thought I was taunting him or whatever. So yeah, it is what it is, but it's awesome to get my first finish in the UFC. I'm ranked number 7 now, 5-2 in the UFC. So, you know, we're in a good place, and I can't wait for the next one. You know, I see myself fighting, you know, in the second quarter of this year. I want to build on a few things and work on a few things before I get back in there. And when I do make that walkout, I want to have someone in that top 5. I want to either fight Joseph Benavidez, you know, if he's still around. I know he's coming off a few losses, but, you know, he's such a dangerous fighter just because he's got so much experience. And, you know, you get past guys like that, that's when you're knocking on the door for a title shot. So I can see myself fighting him or anyone in that top 5 and then starting to make a climb for that title. So it's an exciting time for me. But you know, I'll fight when the time's right. And for now, I just got to take care of this one.
I was gonna say, there's been a couple times here where I thought Kobe was gonna wake up and just absolutely go off. But man, what, he's probably going to be the best baby I've ever seen. But Guy, can you tell us about, like, even 2 years ago when we were working together, there was all that talk and uncertainty around the flyweight division. Like, there was just all that, like, and this probably obviously not the start of your career, but kind of at the start of the UFC career, was he kind of broke through. And then there was all this talk, oh, are we going to keep the flyweight division around? Then you went on that win streak. I think you got 3 in a row. Did you get 3 or 4 in a row? And then that's when you fought Moreno and you came back. What was that like, competing and like still striving for the top of your division when all that was going on in the background? It was like that uncertainty. It's like, are these guys going to keep the division around? Are they not? How did you just keep working through that?
Yeah, like, I just had to control what I could, and that was just turn up and fight. You know, when people were saying it's the flyweight fight, the flyweight division might be over, this could be one of the last fights, and I was making my UFC debut. I was just like, oh, if I go out, I'll at least put on a show. So I guess I did play a little part in for this division sticking around, being exciting, having 3 fight of the night bonuses. But yeah, it's one of those things where you just can't really look into it too much. You just got to do your job, and that's just train and turn up to fight night and, you know, go to work, put on exciting fights. So being in the UFC now and the flyweight division's like one of the most exciting divisions in the company. And that's just because of all the guys in the top 10 could beat anyone, you know. It's so evenly matched at the moment, and to have the guys, Moreno and Figueroa, go to war and get potentially fight of the year already, and so early on in the year, that was awesome for our division. And these guys are beatable, you know. I can see myself stepping in there with Figueroa or rematching Moreno. You know, we're both a lot better since then. But I can't wait to get in there and compete with the top guys in the division.
Yeah. Let's talk about the coming off the loss against Moreno, and then we had the loss against Roiva. Both firecracker fights, and both, like you said, everyone in that division is tough. That top 10 is so close in that flyweight division. Like, it's just not even a question of who's better. It's almost like who just got the better game plan or who turned up on the night. How did you come back from that? How did you come back? Because you're on that hot streak. You had these cracker fights coming in. You still, all your fights are cracker fights, but then you come off that loss to Moreno, come off that loss to Royville. What's gone through your head? What's gone through your head? And how do you come back from that and get ready? And then obviously you came back out and put on a huge performance of the night. What goes through your head to get you mentally prepared for that?
I guess it's a combination of things. You just got to pick yourself up and just do it again. I've got so many good role models, you know, great men around me that I look up to, you know, my teammates, my coaches. Having a head coach like Eugene, you know, he's really installed a lot of things that, you know, change your life. And just the environment that we have at CKB, we've got so many fighters there, so much wealth of knowledge to feed off. And my family and my support system, I knew I'm one of the best in the world, and I don't need to, you know, my insecurities, I don't need to, you know, give myself affirmation and kind of dwell on that. I just got to turn up to the gym and keep putting in work. I'm still young in my career, and I knew this, and yeah, those losses that I have, you know, a few little minor adjustments, and we could have easily got those wins. So for me, I just had to keep turning up to training and just keep, you know, building off progress. You know, even though I took a loss, you know, it's a learning experience, and at the end of the day, it's all experience that's going to help me in the bigger picture when I do eventually fight for the title and fight those high level guys. So with David Neef, our mental coach, he's done a lot with, I guess, honing in into where our flaws are and where we're making, I guess, where we're blocking ourselves mentally. And for me, it was more just stepping into like my alter ego. So in fight night, not dwelling on anything that's happened in my camp, not thinking about anything else, but stepping into this alter ego, which is like Superman version of myself. So that was massive and powerful for me, just kind of turning into this, what my ancestors would have done, you know, hundreds of years ago, fighting on the battlefield for land, kind of using that as motivation and knowing it, it's in my blood to do this. You know, I'm just the modern day version, and being Māori and being proud of my culture and proud of my people. That's the kind of mentality I step into, where I'm stepping into, you know, this warrior mindset. And come fight night, you know, that's all I'm thinking about is bad intentions. And now, you know, so you were there for my last performance. I'm really kind of more clinical when I need to be. And that's just experience and just getting more comfortable in the ring. I didn't want to take too much time off when I took a loss in Fight Island. Losing to Ravel, and it was a close fight, but I just got caught with an elbow, which eventually led to getting submitted. But, you know, I know I'm tough, and I know everyone's tough in the UFC, but it's not about that. It's about training smart and I guess, turning up on fight night. Anyone could beat anyone, and that's what's exciting about our division. You just got to turn up fight night and put it on when it needs to happen. So for me now, it's just about, you know, keep learning, keep developing my holes in my game, which which I've been doing. And also just adding little things, you know, working with my breathing coach, working with our mental coach, you know, always coming into these fights fit. My cardio, you know, was the best it's ever been for this last fight, just because I didn't just start 10 weeks out. You know, I was building into that since my last fight. I never really took time off training. I just kind of worked on my maintenance as well as slowly building up. And then, you know, when you come into these big fights overseas in Vegas, being in the fight capital of the world, there's no like time to second guess yourself. You know, it's just go time. And yeah, that's how I kind of built myself up again. And now we're back in the win column. We're in a good place, you know, working with the best in the business like yourself and the best team in the world, City Kickboxing. So I know we've had a bit of a rough stint in the UFC this year for our gym, but little adjustments and we'll be back better than ever. So for me personally, just gotta keep ticking those boxes, keep training, keep you know, doing what I've been doing, and eventually that title.
What do you think has influenced your mindset like that, Kai? Because you know, you've been around so many other different fighters, so many other different athletes, people in all walks of life, where they just don't have that attitude, where if they cop a loss or something doesn't go their way, the whole world turns upside down. And then it's just like a cascade almost of like all these other things going wrong because they don't know how to handle, they can't handle that loss. They don't have the mental tenacity to be able to deal with it. Why is it that you can deal with it so well? Is it, have you always been like this, or is it something that's been drilled into you? Have you trained this mindset, or what is it?
Like, I guess for me, I've been in the sport for so long where like I was young, pretty much I learned the sport as I was growing up. So I started jiu-jitsu when I was 10. I used to get bullied for my size. You know, I'm a flyweight, but I've always been small. So for me, it wasn't about like getting into fights when I was younger. It was about building the confidence up where I don't need to get into fights because I know I'm better than that, and I don't need to prove myself. And in my family, I guess I always got installed work. Hard work was always installed into me from my brothers, from my dad, from my mom, and the rest of my family. So that kind of lit a fire underneath me. I couldn't make it, and I knew I was going to be, you know, an academic at the rest of the family. I didn't want to go to uni. This wasn't for me. When I made the call to move over to Thailand and chase my dream and to be in the UFC, I knew I kind of had to prove myself to my family that, you know, I'm not just going to waste my time and I'm not going to pull out of things. I guess in my past, I was a bit flaky and I would never kind of commit to something fully. And fighting, that kind of gave me the ultimate it was the ultimate for me because I was pushed in every aspect, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So when I made the move to Thailand and I was kind of all in, I dropped out of uni, you know, I didn't have much money. I was fighting to put kind of food on the table. And I did have a scholarship at Tiger Muay Thai. So I was getting food, housing was paid for and training was paid for. So pretty much a dream as a young fighter. You know, I was only like 18, 19 at this age. But I wasn't winning fights over there all the time. So I had family, you know, saying maybe come back home, maybe go back to uni, maybe this isn't for you. And for me, I was like, nah, if I got myself into this, I'm going to get myself out of it. So it was a great learning curve for me because when you kind of immerse yourself into something and your back's against the wall and you kind of at a crossroad where you're like, do I go home and do that, you know, the normal 9-to-5 and do this as a hobby, or do I just say, nah, stuff that, I'm going to go keep going all in. And I know it's not the smartest because there's no security. You know, you don't know how long you can fight for. You don't know when the next paycheck's coming. You don't know how long you can live overseas and your family just think you're on a holiday. So when that's all happening, you just got to find it somewhere deep inside you and just keep turning up and keep working hard. And eventually, you know, I turned a 3-fight lose streak into a 5-fight win streak, all by first round knockout. And then that's when I got picked up for the Ultimate Fighter. So just being in Thailand for like 4 years, that really got me out of my comfort zone to a point where I got too comfortable. you know, I wasn't getting pushed enough in training just because the gym's so big. You know, we've got so many fighters at Tiger Muay Thai, biggest gym in Asia, and only like 5 coaches. So you kind of get lost as a number and you're kind of doing your own thing and your own schedule. And no one's, you know, saying, hey, why aren't you at this session? There were so many people were like, oh, he's there somewhere. I just don't know where he is. But then I made the move back home. I lost the fight in Risen in Japan. after the Ultimate Fighter, and then I knew I had to make some adjustments. My whole family flew over to Japan, and it was kind of not embarrassing, but I didn't want to let them all down, you know, and to not get the win in front of them. I was like, if I want to do this and commit to it again, I need to make some adjustments. So that's when I moved back home and started training with Eugene at City Kickboxing. And the best thing I ever did, you know, I turned up to the gym, and then you said, how do we get back into the UFC, or get back into the getting seen as a prospect for the UFC? And he said, Eugene just said to me, turn up to training, and the rest will take care of itself. So, you know, so thankful I listened to him. 2 years later, I was on a 5-fight win streak, and eventually I got the call up for the UFC. So my career has kind of taken this massive full circle where I got, you know, the taste of the UFC on the Ultimate Fighter, but I kind of had to grow and develop outside the UFC to make my comeback into the promotion not a shock, and for me to be, you know, ready for it. So now when I'm in the UFC now, you know, these big fights and fighting high level guys, it's not really a massive jump for me because I've done the work outside of all the limelight and all the for the attention on you. So now being here, you know, fighting, you know, the best guys in the world, it's just another day for me, just because I've been doing this for so long now. Had my first pro fight when I was, 17, back in 2009. And then now being, you know, one of the top, or ranked number 7 in the world in the UFC. And this is just my dream that I've always kind of pushed for, and just kind of proud of myself that I stuck through it. You know, I could have easily in Thailand said, nah, stuff it, I'm going to come back home and just get a normal job. I'll train and still, you know, be involved in the sport, but I'm content of where I've gone. But I was never, that never crossed my mind. I was like, I've got a goal. I've got to keep ticking things off and keep working at it. So that's why I'm so, I guess, relentless with where I want to be in the sport, and why I'll never stop. Even if I take losses and stuff, I just keep turning up and keep getting better.
Gave you the drive to keep going, Kai? Was it like a role model or like an influential person in your life? Was it a coach? Was it a family member? What was it like when it got tough and say coming out of Ultimate Fighter, or in that when you're in Tiger and you had those little rough spells? What was it that kept your eyes on the prize and being like, yeah, you know what, this is going to be something, and I know I can make it, just like give me more time, I just got to work? What is it? Was it someone or something that kept you going?
I guess, yeah, my family. My brother David, I'm real close with. He's always been, you know, an academic and sportsman as well. He kind of had it both, and he's a lawyer now, just finished his master's. It's only 2 years apart from us, and I always looked up to him. You know, I've always looked up to him as a role model for me, and to see him kind of do so well and what he's doing, I didn't want to be a disappointment for my family. So I was like, you know, I just got to keep pushing and keep working towards my goal. And my family knew, you know, when I moved to Thailand, that I was serious, because, you know, who does that at that age? Who wants to, you know, leave their comfort of their home and you know, their friends and family and just chase a dream? So they knew that I was serious about it. That's why they supported me so much. And now to see their faces when they just see where I've come from and what I'm doing now with my family and my son and providing for them. And I've just bought my first house, which is amazing to be able to do this. In these times where Auckland's one of the places to live in the world, and to be able to, you know, give my son security and my partner security, like that means everything to me. And my family doesn't have to worry anymore. They know that, you know, I'm doing good, and that just feeds my the fuel for the fire, and makes me want to push more. So I remember the start of this year, I made a list of goals to do. So one was to meet my son, and the next one was to win by knockout for UFC 25 in March, and the next one was to buy a house. So I could tick those all off, and I guess I got to make some new goals. So yeah, it's a great place to be, and this comes down to hard work and staying consistent, not kind of deterring from the, because it haven't worked out, you know, obstacles that come in the road, you know, they're just kind of speed bumps for the bigger picture.
Yeah, for sure. And that's pretty much everything I want to go over in the podcast, Kai, but I am finishing every podcast with the same questions. They're meant to be rapid fire questions, but I've had a real mixed bag if they're rapid fire or not, depending on how prepped you are for these questions. But question number one, who's your favorite fighter in the UFC at the moment?
Favorite fighter in the UFC? Probably Petr Yan.
Petr Yan.
To be honest. Yeah, I just like how he comes out bad, like pure violence. You know, he laughs when he gets hit, and you'll pay for it as well. So I know the rematch with him and Aljamain will be a highlight reel for him. He hates that this guy's got the belt off a DQ, but yeah, probably Petr. He's a beast. I've trained with him in Thailand, but yeah.
I was going to say, you guys have trained together quite a bit, hey?
Yeah, he's always, he's got good banter. You know, he's Russian, but he understands the banter that, you know, Aussies and Kiwis have. So like when I just like a few fights ago, I was like, oh, you just bought a Rolex, and he's like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, how much did it cost? And he's like, more than your fight purse. And I was like, this guy needs to hide it. This guy needs a slap, eh? But no, he's the man.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Favorite quote of all time.
There's a lot of gems around, especially listening to GSP and Joe Rogan the other day on their podcast. What was one of the quotes they said? They said, well, it's not a, it's, don't word, quote me word for word, but it was on the lines of, for young up-and-coming fighters, you can't, everyone's tough, but it's not the tough ones that make it, you know, it's the ones that are smartest and the ones that, I guess, adapt and can learn from experiences. So if you're a young fighter and you're trying to make it in the UFC, go watch that podcast, because it's pretty insightful and it will save you a lot of brain cells. Save you a lot of brain cells, yeah.
That was going to be my next question to finish off, is what would be your advice to young fighters who want to be where you're at right now?
Yeah, to young fighters, you know, I was once in that boat where I was just young and hungry and I didn't care about anything else but getting fights. And advice I would give to guys that want to get into it or already into it and they're trying to make a pathway to the UFC, just immerse yourself in the sport. You know, compete in grappling, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, kickboxing. It's all that mat time and experience that's going to help you in the bigger run. Don't worry about wins or losses, just more worry about getting experience on the mat, you know, going in and competing against other you know, even guys more experienced than you. That's what I would say. That's what helped me a lot in my journey in MMA. Just doing as much as I could to for MMA. I didn't care about if I lost in boxing or if I lost in kickboxing, but for me, MMA was my ultimate goal. So yeah, for any young fighters out there, immerse yourself in the sport, get involved. Don't be too one-track minded. Don't think that, you know, you're good because you've had a few knockouts. You got to humble yourself and you got to put in the work on the mat and in the ring and just commit to that. And also don't drop out of uni. If you're at uni, you know, be smart about it. I dropped out because I was, I was that, I guess, one-minded that I didn't want to do anything else but train. But I know it wasn't the smartest thing. Puts a lot of pressure on it. Need to be, could have, you know, come out of it with a degree and still trained and made it to the UFC. So you want to set yourself up and have things to fall back on. You know, injuries play a big part in the sport. And if you're all in and you get injured fighting, you know, what else are you going to do? So to young guys that are studying as well as training and fighting in martial arts, you know, juggle both. I know you can do it. You know, anyone can do this. Do both. And seeing my partner and having a son now, I know how much hard work it is to do both. So yeah, if you can juggle it, I would do both, study and train. Yeah,
for sure. Hey, that's like Sounds like an ad for Kai Car France's youth mentorship program. After hearing that, I would I would buy a spot in that to get it. But Kai, after at the end of every podcast, I'm putting together, based on what you guys say, the tips for high performance for everyone that comes on. And I've wrote down 4 points for you, and feel free to add to these. But I said, for Kai Car France, the 4 points for high performance are: build confidence through the hard work, number one. Number two, surround yourself with the right people. Number three, commit 100% and go all in if you're going to do it. And number four, lastly but not least, patience and trust the process. Is there anything you'd add to that?
No, that's they're pretty spot on there. You've got everything there. I guess one more thing to add to that is, if you do face adversity, stay true to why you started it. Why did you start this? Was it why did you start this? To stop bullying, or to get fit, or to better your life, or to support your family? You just got to have those things to kind of constantly remind you, and that will help you in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's awesome. Now, Kai Car France, you've got heaps going on. You've got KKF coming out, but just for the guys listening here, if they want to follow you along, they want to follow on with any of the number of projects you've got going on at the minute, give us the plug. What's your Instagram? Where can they follow you on YouTube? What's the new clothing you've got going on? Give us a spiel.
Yeah, so if you want to follow my journey, the road to the title, it's not too late to jump on the hype train. It's taken off and we're making traction now. So Kai Car France on Instagram, Kai Car France on Facebook, Twitter. I've just started a YouTube channel, which my first episode should be dropping next week. These are going to be daily vlogs, training vlogs. If you follow me already, you know that I'm into sneakers. So we'd be doing sneaker reviews and unboxings, food reviews. I'll be doing, I'll be getting special guests onto the channel, not just fight related guests, but a bit of everything. And I'll be putting out content that people want to see. So you can comment and tell me what you want to see more of, and I'll listen to that. So keep an eye out for that. Like, subscribe to my page. I'm going to be trying to update it every week with a new video. And then also my clothing line, KKF. I work a lot with Oni, my good friend, that we've got some shirts coming out soon and some shorts. And I've got something big on the horizon. I can't announce it yet, but it's something massive, and it's something exciting for everyone in New Zealand, not just New Zealand, but whoever wants to get involved. So stay on the lookout for that. But exciting time for me, and always a pleasure talking to you, Geordie. You've been a massive part of my journey, especially in the UFC, making me cut weight, making me not lose money, and making me perform my best when it comes fight night. So I really appreciate it, and appreciate your time here.
Nah, of course. 7 from 7, I think we are on the scale. So and plenty more to come. I think the goal is 2020 for the flyweight title, but it's coming soon. I think it's inevitable. Like, we're going to see it happen. And City Kickboxing, exactly, like I said, going through a little bit of a lull at the moment, but by the end of the year, we'll all be back. But Kai, I appreciate you taking the time. I feel like you're one of the busiest men in MMA at the moment. Got so much going on, but appreciate you taking the time. Man. Bro, we'll chat soon, hey?
Easy, man. Thanks for your time, bro. We'll catch up.
And there it is, another episode of the TrainAid Performance Podcast. Be sure to follow Kai on all his social media and his new YouTube channel to stay up to date with everything he has going on. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TrainAid Performance Podcast.